the total tax liability for 22, the total payments you've done, the balance due, okay, amount you're paying, if any, you don't have to, all right? And then, so there is no signature here. Wow, no signature on the penalty of perjury. In other words, with this form, you did not put the rope or chain around your neck. No, it doesn't mean anything. Your brother, sister, cousin, or neighbor could have filled out this form for you, and it means absolutely nothing. They just, in your mind, put you at ease and, okay, you got more time to decide what you want to do from here forward. So let's go to IRS's website, and we got there at irs.gov, the form 1040 U.S. Individual Income Tax Return form for your 2022. The key here is the term U.S. Who is that U.S. individual that must file this U.S. Individual Income Tax Return? So let's go. We're going to look into the word U.S. shortly. But first, let's go to the instructions for the 1040 form on page 8. About filing requirements on this form, IRS correctly tells us that these rules apply to all U.S. citizens, regardless of where they live, and resident aliens, which I agree, okay? U.S. citizens, or what United States are they speaking about? That's the tricky word, folks. That's where they use words that mean one thing in your mind, and to them it's something else. To me, life-saving, gender-affirming care means I'm a man, you may be a woman, okay? And guess what? I affirm that you're a woman, I'm a man, whatever sex you may be. And I care for you, you care for me, and that's it. But they define chemical and physical mutilation and castration of children and adults as life-saving, gender-affirming care. It's an absolute lie, but by definition. And guess what? They've done that before with the income tax as well. Watch out, and you'll love this, okay? So I'm going to show you that. We're going to go shortly to the source of the law. uscode.house.gov is the United States Code, which is a consolidation and codification by subject matter of the general and permanent laws of the United States, the laws of the federal government, which is prepared by Office of Law Revision Council of the United States House of Representatives. That's the lawyers of the House of Representatives. This is the source of law, folks. And you see all its categories, browse the United States Code or categories by many different titles or categories. And guess what? Among these titles, of 54 of them, Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, is the federal tax laws, like the one I'm holding right here. This is Title 26, the Internal Revenue Code. The entire federal tax laws are right here, over 10,000 pages and code sections of tiny font gobbledygook to confuse you. And the definitions, every matter, to hide it at the end so you don't notice it, you don't look for it, and neither did your accountant, CPA, or even tax attorney that's supposed to know the law. Watch this, folks, okay? We're going to go right now to also the Code of Federal Regulations. This is govinfo.gov, Title 26, Regulations of the U.S. Treasury Department about the income tax. And it correctly tells us about tax on individuals. Part 1.1-1 tells us in A1, that's section 1 of the code. What code are you talking about, folks? The Internal Revenue Code. Yes, the federal tax law is the Bible of the IRS that supposedly they are following and supposed to be imposing. So this section of the code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. I agree. They are right and to the extent provided by Section 871B or 877B on the income of a non-resident alien individual. Okay. Again, what is this United States citizen or resident that they're speaking about? Okay. That is the key we're going to get with shortly, folks. So we're going to go to uscode.house.gov and from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. Government tells us about Chapter 79 definitions. That's right. The definitions are right here in Section 7701 of the Internal Revenue Code. And it tells us when used in this title, again, what title, folks? Once again, the Internal Revenue Code, right? It's how you define things that controls things, okay? They define many things like person, corporation, fiduciary, and all pages and pages of definitions. And there is one for United States. When used in a geographical sense, the United States includes only the states and the District of Columbia. Fine. How about the term state? The term state shall be construed or interpreted, understood, to include the District of Columbia, where such construction or understanding is necessary to correctly carry out the provisions of this title, to carry out the federal tax laws. Do you see Florida or Texas in there? New York? Iowa? Any of the 50 states, folks? Nope, I don't see it either. It's not there. The United States is only the District of Columbia plus states. And the term state, right, is also only the District of Columbia. Whether you have two District of Columbias or 1,000 District of Columbias, what does it add up to? Only District of Columbia. Not France, not Italy, Germany, Florida, California, or the 50 states. They're not there. Wow. You didn't know that, did you? See, it's all hidden. The truth is there. You must seek the truth. And then the truth shall set you free. It's going to get more fun, folks, okay? Let's continue on now to see what the Supreme Court tells us about these issues. This is a U.S. Supreme Court called Hooven and Allison versus Ebbot, Tax Commissioner of Ohio, which was decided in 1945, okay? And they give us a very interesting definition of the term United States. The term United States may be used in any one of several senses. Whoa, really? It may merely be name of a sovereign occupying the position analogous to that of other sovereign nation, family, sovereigns in the family nations, like, you know, Japan, China, Russia, come with the United States. That's what the United States often means. That's what we intend to say. But it may designate the territory over which the sovereignty of the United States extends, okay? And the territory where the sovereignty of the United States extends is the District of Columbia and whatever territories like Puerto Rico, Guam, Virgin Islands that it may have. Or it may be the collective name of the states which are united by and under the Constitution. There's 50 states currently. Usually we think of this very first definition or the third definition, but the one that they're talking about, I'll tell you, is a territory over which the sovereignty of the United States extends. Yep, folks, the 50 states, right, as a collection or as one against foreign nations out there, and on the East Coast is a tiny little District of Columbia, which you could hardly notice on the map. But the federal government is sovereign over that land, the seat of U.S. government. Now you know what the United States and what United States citizens have to find in tax. If you're not a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C., You don't have to file income tax, with the exception of federal government workers and contractors, which I'll show you in just a minute as well. Now, you say, Paymon, you must be crazy. The 50 states are, of course, there in the definition, right? Wrong. Let's go to the Supreme Court of the United States, what they say, okay, at supremecourt.gov, okay? Let's go on there and look at this stuff more closely in the case of Stenberg versus Carhart, which came out in June 2000. Here is what the Supreme Court tells us. When a statute or law includes an explicit definition, like the ones you've seen here, we must follow that definition, even if it varies from that term's ordinary meaning. So you think about the 50 states to be the 50 states, ordinarily, we talk about that or as a whole, as a one, compared to Russia, China, or Japan. Guess what? You got to ignore that according to the U.S. Supreme Court and go with that explicit definition that's listed like the ones you just saw. And it is axiomatic or self-evident, obvious, that the statutory definition of the term excludes unstated meanings of that term. What's not in that definition is simply not there. So when you look at, you know, the term United States and state, you don't see anything beside the District of Columbia. It's simply not there. The 50 states are not there. Therefore, they're not included. Therefore, you are not a U.S. citizen. They're talking about D.C. citizens, folks. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let's go to another Supreme Court case of Gould versus Gould, which was decided in 1917. It's a unanimous 9-0 tax case. Folks, you can't get any better than this. And it tells us clearly that in the interpretation of statutes levying taxes, in understanding laws that impose taxes, it is the established rule not to extend their provisions, not to extend the provisions of tax laws by implication. There is no implying, folks, that 50 states are listed here in the definition of the United States, because it's simply not that you cannot assume that it is there. That is what the court telling you, okay? Beyond the clear import of the language used, which is not there. 50 states is not there in the United States or state definition, or to enlarge their operation, enlarge the operation of tax laws so as to embrace or include matters not specifically pointed out. Again, you don't see the 50 states in here in the definition of the United States or state. Therefore, the 50 states are not there. Okay, so, and the court also reminds us that in case of doubt, any doubt about all this, they, meaning the tax laws, are construed or interpreted most strongly against the government's power to tax and in favor of the citizen, not be taxed. Close, shut case, unanimous, 9-0. U.S. Supreme Court case, but that's it, folks. We're done with this part, but I'm going to give you still another proof. Look at this from Title 26 Internal Revenue Code, okay? Section 4612 has its own definition and special rules. This is subchapter A of Chapter 38 on tax and petroleum, okay? For the purposes of this subchapter. What subchapter are they speaking about? Subchapter A, tax on petroleum. Okay? They define many things, and among these definitions is the term, look at that, United States. Oh, wow. And the term United States means 50 states. It's explicitly, clearly there, folks. They didn't forget about it. And besides the District of Columbia, they added specifically the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, any possession of the United States, the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, and I bet you most of you never even heard about the trust territory of the Pacific Islands. You gotta assume they're there. If they're not there, they also have continental shelf areas and foreign trade zones. Wow. Look how specific and detailed they are here, but look at this other definition, okay? Title 26, Section 993, Definitions and Special Rules. This is on domestic international sales corporations, right? And when you go down in this thing, okay, you have the definitions. You go down to the very bottom of this and look at the term United States. For the purposes of this part only, folks, only for this part, the term United States includes the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and possession of the United States. Not only does not include the 50 states, it does not include the District of Columbia either. Boom! There it is, folks. You got to go by these definitions. If you ignore them, they are meaningless. And in my other videos, you see I've given you example after example in federal tax laws and other laws. United States and state can have many different definitions for different laws and circumstances. So having said that, now, folks, we're going to turn to the term United States person. See, you assume, oh, I'm the United States person, right? I'm from the United States. I'm a person, so therefore I must be a United States person, right? Now, you know, that's not the case. So if you look it up in the definitions, Section 7701, 8030, United States person, look at that, folks. Means a citizen or resident of the District of Columbia. Wow. That's right, folks. You are not a United States person. In fact, look at this. Even corporation partnerships, it must be domestic within the District of Columbia. That's right. Even partnerships and corporations who are outside of D.C. have no tax liability. They're not a United States person, even trust by the entities either, as you see here. Now, having proven that, you don't have to file income tax if you're not a citizen or resident of the District of Columbia. Let's go to one more thing, okay? And that is the last part of, you know, this Part 1.1, income tax on individuals, that tells us citizen or resident of the United States must pay income tax. It also says to the extent provided by Section 871B or 877B on the income of a non-resident alien individual. Who's that? There's only 2% of you out there, okay? That's basically, I'll show you. Federal workers, contractors, retirees, like those of you who are military veterans. You have performed function of federal public office, and you're required by law to pay income tax on that. As you shall see here, folks, here we are. Let's go under Section 7701. Look at that. Under A26, trade or business has a very unique definition. It includes the performance of the functions of the public office. What? Can you believe that, folks? A federal judge, congressman, senator, FBI, CIA agent, they're all in business. It's a trade to be a judge, to be a, Homeland Security agent. It's a business to be a government worker. Guess what? We have to go by these definitions, as the Supreme Court said. And it does not include you, a small business owner. Okay, an independent contractor or a huge business owner. You are not. Only government workers, federal government workers, as you can see, are involved in performance of functions of public office. Now, you see how they use deception again, the definitions? Now the rest of the riddle will make very easy sense for you. Okay, now we can go to definition of, look at that, under 7701, they define, you know, the terms of resident alien and non-resident alien. See, non-resident alien is the key term we're looking for. We go down a little further and you see definition of a non-resident alien. Okay, so non-resident alien. Okay, let's see where we have that here. I thought I had it here. Let me look it up for a little bit again one more time, folks. If it is here, here we go. B, an individual is a non-resident alien if such an individual is neither a citizen of the United States or citizen of District of Columbia, nor a resident of the United States, meaning resident of the District of Columbia. That's right. So a non-resident alien is someone from Japan, Russia, Egypt, France, Italy, also Florida, California, Texas, all the 50 states. We are non-resident with respect to the foreign government of D.C. That's right, folks, because America's 50 countries in the union. We're not a country. We are 50 countries in the union, and every state has its own legislature, governor, Supreme Court, makes its own laws, because we're all 50 different countries united, and we're all non-residents of the other states, and we're alien to the other states as a matter of law. Mm-hmm. So now that you understand this, again, remember, D.C. is a foreign government with respect to the 50 states. So anybody from 50 states is not a citizen, you are a non-resident alien with respect to the District of Columbia. With that understanding now, now we can go to Section 871, which we did earlier. Remember that? Tax on non-resident alien individuals. That's the section, folks, that you saw here, talked about right here, right? So let's go to see what 871B says. Okay, 871 A and B have the same kind of a language that you see they have about all this. Okay, let's go down to B. It talks about income connected with the United States or District of Columbia business graduated rate of tax, imposition of tax. So now I'm going to read this law, and whenever it says United States, we must replace that with District of Columbia. So when it says United States, I will read instead District of Columbia, because that's what the Supreme Court says we need to do, right? So here we go. A non-resident alien individual engaged in a performance function of public office, because that's what the definition is, right? Within the District of Columbia, during the taxable year, shall be taxable as provided in Section 1. That's the Section 1 that we read, folks. Remember, Section 1 of the code, it talks about imposing income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States, and to extent provided by Section 871B or 871B of the income of a non-resident alien individual. That's what they're speaking about here, okay? Or 55 on his taxable income, which is effectively connected with the conduct of performance of function of the office within the District of Columbia. Boom, folks, there it is, folks. Federal government workers and contractors, they may be required to file income tax because they are, okay? Now, so you see, again, all these states, I've got the colors on the map because they're all different countries in America. So again, now it's clear that who they're talking about, District of Columbia citizens and people performing functions of public office. By the way, Section 877B, it's about people who will give up their U.S. citizenship, like they become, you know, citizen of Switzerland or Japan or Mexico. That's talking about those guys. That does not relate to our topic, fortunately. And so now you know that this 1040 form, U.S. Individual Income Tax Return form, you never have to file it in the first place at all. You've been deceived, folks, through a matrix of deception. Yes, living in a world of lies made around you to put you in fear and control you so you voluntarily become a slave with a chain and rope around your neck. Without them ordering you, you thought, I need to do that. I got to put the rope around my neck on the penalty of perjury, sign this piece of paper. And each of these papers, folks, 1040 forms, can put you in prison for 3 different federal crimes for 9 years of prison. That's covered in my other videos. Why take such a chance? I put the burden of proof on yourself, right? because you've been deceived. You take the jab, make you think, oh, the jab, someone died of corona. That's a safe thing to do. But, you know, there is no such thing as corona anyways. It's the jab that gets you to die, right? It's the same lie in a different area that's been told to you. Now, what you want to do is go to freedommoscow.org, our website, okay? And you can restore freedom and regain your power and freedom. Never again voluntarily pay the Washington, D.C. swamp legally, folks, right? On federal government's official legal websites and safety. And a guarantee if you want, it's there, folks, okay? You go down and you see, folks, there's seven steps, folks. Take these seven steps to free yourself of our deception, fear, robbery, and slavery. Yep. And, folks, these steps, they're all outlined right here. Check them out, folks. The first five steps are absolutely free. You got to go step one through four to get to step five. That's a critical point. And step one through five is free. You deserve to keep 100% of your money. You work hard for it. Why should you give it to these criminals in Washington, D.C. who are using your money, the Department of Injustice, the FBI, the CIA, all these crooks? You know, and the big master corporation bailouts and warning Ukraine and pushing the corona jab on you to hurt you and your family, folks, and fellow Americans. Isn't that crazy that they deceive us to voluntarily give money to our enemies? Why would you do that, folks? It makes no sense, right? Now you know the truth. Now you can keep your money. So please do not fund your enemies. Do not fund the enemies of American people, right? Fund you and your family, number one. Now, some of you say, Payman, I'm still afraid of the IRS, and I like some guarantees, some security. Can you offer me? Well, yes. I've been in the IRS for over 30 years. I can give you guaranteed security if you want to. It's an option only for those of you who are willing to take part in restoring America and stand up like the founding fathers of America, folks. That option is available for you if you want to join the Restore Freedom Plan. Okay, folks, you don't have to do this at all, but it's available to you. For more details and get complete lifetime guarantee, you will not go to prison. IRS will not take any of your money or assets by force of a levy or seizure. Folks, that's available also if you choose to participate in that plan. So what you want to do, go to freedomlawschool.org and continue your journey to freedom. Folks, I love every one of you. And I want you to have the opportunity to live your life with your family as you want to. But you know what? Despite my love for you, I cannot do it for you. Did you hold the keys to your freedom? You want to do this on your drive to and from work every day. Put your smartphone in your car. And as you drive, listen to the videos. Watch the road. Listen to the videos and see what I tell you. It's all backed up. It's not lies. It's all truth. Government's official legal websites. Then when you get at lunch or dinner time, then put your smartphone. You can watch the video on pause. Look at the laws to see, wow, Payman is really telling me the truth. I have a right to live free, and I'm going to be free. So you do your homework, folks, and then tell the other people, folks, your friends, family members. Text them our website, our social media, put us out there, folks, and we have to pay you. That's step seven. For telling others to join together as Americans and restore freedom for you and all Americans. Freedom, let it ring once again. Okay, so now we're going to go to your questions. Some of you have sent email or text messages, and we'll get to those after the questions of those who are asking questions live, okay? So if some of those of you live send the paperwork to us, and you want to then, you know, tell me who you are, that's fine, that's even better. Because I may need to sometimes ask you questions about the issue you emailed us about. So When we got right now, five callers waiting to get the questions answered. Area code 916, area code caller. Then from area code 206, following area code 678. Then call from area code 619. I guess that's what we have for right now. Okay. And again, the numbers on the screen, if you want to ask your question, call the number on the screen, 657-383-1755, and push 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will take your call after these people. So call from area code 916. Please give me your first name only for your privacy, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hello. My name is Matt. I ran across your website searching for some information. I can't remember exactly how I ran across it.
Was it a friend? Was it internet? Was it video? What kind of source do you think it was? How long ago was it about? Roughly a year ago, 10 years ago?
Well, to be honest, it was probably a year ago, and then I recently heard your interview on Mike Adams' podcast a couple months back.
Okay.
Which kind of reignited my interest. And so I've been going through the steps, studying your work. My question is, we have some commercial real estate, and they are asking to fill out and sign a W-9. You know, so they can report their rents. And so it looks to me as that's similar to the confession form where you're signing away things that you shouldn't. And so my question is, what should I do? Should I sign a W-8 as a non-resident alien? Or what is your suggestion?
Well, we have a form and instructions for that for our students right now. This time I've not put it on our website yet, because if I put something for free on our website, I want to make sure it's done 100% completely and gives you follow-up backup solutions, because sometimes you can convince these guys to realize that the law says they do not need to request or get a W-9 form from you to, you know, report your money to an IRS on a 1099 form. But sometimes people say, hey, I'm going to back off. So right now for our students, if you become a Restore Freedom Plan member, I can do that, make sure the follow-ups are properly done. But this time is no easy answer. The quickest thing I can tell you that issue is covered, okay? In step 5, okay, yeah, write to your lawmakers, okay? When you're there, step 5, you see at the bottom of the page, petitions, okay? And there's a one on self-employment taxes and 1099s. And that covers, okay, the issue of the 1099 and the W-9 issues related to that as well, okay? So you can read that petition, and it all relates to the term trade or business, which I covered a little bit tonight, okay? That's what it all relates about. So you read that, that's the closest thing. But what I suggest that you join Restore Freedom Plan, my friend, we make sure this is probably responded for you right away, because, you know, I haven't put it on a website with all the follow-up instructions what to do in case of this, in case of that. So call our office, and you can tomorrow talk to Benny. He'll talk to you about a little bit more about some. I said you call, ask for him, and he'll give you a little bit more detail on that also as well. But read this petition I gave you right here. That'll give you a good overview about it right now on our Step 5, our petitions page.
Did you say
right.
Benny?
Benny, huh? Tom, I asked for you to talk to him. He's a researcher about all this stuff. He can talk to you a little bit more about it as well.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, my friend. All right. Let's see. Let's go to area code 206 caller, my friend. Give me a first name. I heard about us. And then your question, please.
Oh, hi, Payman. My name is Mary, and I heard about you from, I met you when you hosted Anarchapulco a couple years back. So that's how
Very
I heard about
good.
You.
Very good. And how may I help you,
yeah.
Mary?
I'm calling because I pulled money out of my 401k to purchase a home. I did not realize that I would be taxed on that income since I'm younger than 55, I guess. So now I have an extraordinary tax bill of $106,000. And I was wondering if you have any advice for me.
Yeah. Don't file, don't pay because you don't owe it. You just saw what I just showed you, right? Are you a citizen or resident of the District of Columbia?
Right. No.
Are you or you're not? Are you?
I am
are
not.
You a citizen
no, I'm not.
Or resident of the District of Columbia or not?
No, I am not.
Okay, then. You don't owe that $106,000. Period. So don't file, don't pay them. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Very good.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you, Payman.
You're welcome. Great. I mean, it's all right there. I mean, you said you saw it black and white for yourself previously on my website. And I know you called my office and talked to my people there. They explained that to you. And you saw it again. I mean, the law is on your side.
Okay.
And, you know, so just enjoy your money. You got your home. Okay? You never owed the tax to begin with. Okay?
Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure,
Have
Mary.
Have a good evening.
The same with you. Let's go
okay,
to the call area
code.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Blessings to you as well. Thank you for taking interest in Freedom and calling us. Now, we have
okay.
a call from area code 678 who is no longer with us, but we got a call from area code 619. Another one from area code 509 joined us. And a call from area code 850 also joined us. So from area code 619. My friend, give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
I've talked to you before. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, I do. I do political work, and right now we're working on trying to stop the income tax in Washington State. That's another state that's trying to get the income tax, but that's not the reason why I called.
What's your first name? What's your name first?
David. Can you hear me? David?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Yes, go ahead, huh? And how did you hear about us, David?
I haven't filed taxes ever since I got out of the military like 30 years ago.
And how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Dave? How did you hear about us?
I heard from you guys like a long time ago, probably like 15 years ago. I've talked to you before. But my question is, it was probably like 10 years ago, I got letters from the California Franchise Board basically was telling me they're going to do this and do that. And I responded to every single letter that they sent me, right? That's what you're supposed to do is respond. And I was using my tax forms from the irszoom.com. But recently, mm-hmm. like 2 days ago, the Franchise Board, I haven't heard from the Franchise Board for about 5 years, right? Because they gave up on me, or what I thought they did. But what happened is 2 days ago, they pulled out $20,000 out of my IRA. And I'm trying to figure out what I should do about that. They basically just took the money out. I called up my broker, and I said, there's $20,000 missing out of my account. And then the guy went on there, and he's like, oh, yeah, it looks like the California Franchise Board took $20,000 out of your account. So I'm trying to figure out what my next step should be. I really don't want to call them because then they'll get you, they'll try to tape record you. They'll try to get you to file tax returns. And if you do that, then they share the information with the IRS. I know how that crap works.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out what I should do next here.
Let me ask you a question. David, you've known about Freedom Law School for 15 years. What took you so long to contact us? Why did you not join us back then?
My back. I thought I wasn't. I was off the radar, and I'm like, I thought I took care of it, and apparently I was wrong. So
unfortunately, yes, and that $20,000 is bye. Kiss it goodbye.
Gone.
It's gone.
Okay.
Where do you live? What state do you live in?
Technically, my residency is in Arizona.
Okay.
But
so
I lived in
you're no longer
Michigan.
From California. You're Arizona. Why?
Yeah.
Would you want to leave your money on the table for the corrupt communist California franchise tax board to steal? What you did apparently, you left your IRA with a bank or a brokerage house, which has offices or presence in the state of California, and California FTB took the gun to the head of the bank or the broker, said, give me his money, otherwise I'll blow your brain. Give me David's money. And that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
If you have nothing in California, there's nothing they can do. You chose, by not knowing about law and rights, not knowing about America's 50 countries, to leave your money in the country of California and let California's tax people steal your money. That's why I keep telling everybody, folks, educate yourself, folks. People say, oh, hey, I don't have time to educate myself. I don't want to, spend any money to help anybody else to educate or protect me. Well, then you got to pay the price of ignorance. It's heavier. So...
Okay, so
all you can do from here
account
is to forget about that and protect yourself from here forward. How old are you, David?
56.
56
years old, question.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
Yes.
I still got money in that account. Did I pull it all out? Probably.
What did I just say?
Another thing.
If you want to let the FTB take it again? You can put it there. What? Who is it with? What bank or brokerage house is it with?
Fidelity.
There you go. I knew it. Fidelity is the biggest of the big brokerage houses. Crooks and criminals sell out. They hand your money over to the IRS like it's drinking water. Oh, yes, please, buddy. You can have it all, IRS. Yes.
New business Fidelity. Another problem I have is I have an annuity. I got money in there, but if I pull that money up, then I get hit super hard from the insurance company, and they'll like it's like an annuity, like insurance. So
I know what annuities. I used to sell annuities and insurance when I was in my early 20s. I was a financial planner. So how much is it?
Like $300,000.
And how much would it take from you? Do you know?
They would take about $50,000 probably if you pull it out early. That's the problem.
No, I'm not so sure. But we probably ought to go, probably worth if you do the paid or I'm on private consultation so I can go over all the stuff you got going on. You got a lot going on. You got a mess, my friend. Let me ask you, how much did you owe the FTB? How much FTB claims you owe them? Anybody left, or have they taken everything from you already?
I think that
you owe them. They claim you owe them. How much they claim you owe them?
About 20, probably that amount that they took, about around 20,000.
So that's it. They took everything that they wanted from you, and they're done with you, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, in that case, then. You can leave it there if you want to, because California has nothing, wants nothing from you anymore.
Okay.
Any other questions?
That's about it for now. Thanks for the bad news.
Sorry about that, but I don't lie to tell you straight as it is. But I would say you at a close retirement, my friend, is well worth it for you to get with us. Let's go over your situation, plan your future safely and correctly, so these mistakes will not happen with the IRS, which is much bigger potentially than the FTB. Okay.
Okay. So I can call and get a consultation. How much is that?
No, those got to be paid consultations. The way it works on our website, I have it on there. Let's see, GitHub. Here we go. On our GitHub on the top left, it talks about how you can do that. Basically, you're one of those that needs a detailed paid consultation because you've got problems, okay, and planning you want to do for the future properly, okay? So there it is on the consultation. Follow the instructions there, my friend. If you have any questions, give us a call. There's an order form, for consultation. Yeah, I'll open up for you to see. Here it is. That's the form, okay? Consultation request form. So that you have two different options, with me or with somebody else, and save you some money. Totally up to you, my friend, to see what's going on, your totality of your all this and that, and where to go from here forward. All right, David?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, brother. Thanks for calling. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to area code 509. Caller, you are live. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please. Are you there? Area code 509, caller.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I am the 509 caller.
And your name is?
Gerald.
All right. And how did you hear about Freedom Lost to Gerald?
A friend of mine emailed me a link to your website.
A student of yours?
Pardon me?
A student or a friend?
A friend.
Okay, very good. Very good. And how may I help you, Gerald?
Well, I've been wanting to join. I'm going to have to go on my do it on my own until I get – I've been trying to get a couple referrals to help with my tuition. But I have – I filed for an extension. My question is I filed for an extension this year, as I usually have been doing. And I have my paperwork filled out and ready to send to my state reps and so forth. And I'm also getting ready to leave the country for the winter. So my question is, am I going to receive correspondence from the IRS that I'll have to respond to right away, or what does that entail as far
potentially, yes. Whether you file or don't file a 1040 income tax confession trap form, they may write to you. They may propose a tax against you. They may try to collect money from you. And when they do that, they have to do it by certified mail to your last known address that you gave them. And you must challenge them in a timely manner within 30 or 90 days or applicable time period. So it's important that you give them your address outside the United States by certified mail first to Washington, D.C. IRS office. Or alternatively, you have someone check your mail in the United States to let you know. Or you have your mail go permanently to some other place like the mailbox rental place to those private people that they get your mail, and if something comes up, they'll let you know by fax or email. They provide options. But you must make sure, ideally, to you get any and all IRS letters that may come to you so that the important ones you timely can challenge. Okay?
Okay. Okay. All right. Yes, I have it going to somewhere where I can monitor it. Okay, so that answers that. I don't owe anything, but I just want out of there. I just don't want to file anymore.
But don't.
So I'm not going to. Thank you. I appreciate your information and so forth. And I'm I've actually got a referral link from you guys already, and I'm getting the word out there and trying to get myself a couple referrals to get my my tuition offset with you guys. So, and as the real quick last question to as far as sending the certified mail out to the senators and the state rep, that can be done anytime. And this, does it, do they have to receive it before you were, before the date passes that puts you behind in their eyes, or does it matter?
Ideally, as soon as possible, because in a criminal tax case, the judge will say to the jury that, well, what was in your mind? What was your intent when you didn't file tax anymore? So if they come after you, for example, for your 2022, and you send a letter in 2025, the judge will tell the jury, well, that was not part of his mindset, because he did not send a letter out that, you know, read and send a letter to his congressman until 2025. Tax return was due on April 15, 2023, with extension October 15, 2023. He didn't do it by October 15th either. So that's not part of his mindset. For year 2024 forward, that will count, but not for the old years. So you leave yourself vulnerable potentially. So you want to do it as soon as possible. This is not one of those occasions that you kick the can down the road, do it later. You want to do it right away.
Okay. And if I am required to respond to them after my you know, date goes by, they say they send me and say, you know, why haven't you filed or whatever. Is my response back to them, is that available prior to becoming a student, or does that require becoming a student?
Well, the response, we do it only for our students, for those who join the Restore Freedom Plan. If you want to be on your own, you're on your, you choose to be on your own. So remember, there's three options. Number one, continue to be a slave, put the rope on your neck, say, yes, master. Why do we say master? You got TurboTax, you got some accountant, CPA, be your assistant to make you a slave, and fill out the confession form for the rope on your neck. That's option one. Option two is to keep your 100% and be on your own, because it's your money. And your responsibility to keep yourself free. Okay, you will not go to prison if you do petitions right away. But when they come after civilly money issues, in those cases, if they come after you, which is rare, by the way, extremely rare, but if they do, you will be on your own. So if you join a Restore Freedom Plan, you own the payment plan, you know, then we can cover you. The minimum membership is $2,000. It's only 30% of what you would have paid the swamp. So you keep 70% of it yourself, and 30% you contribute to the Restore Freedom Plan, and we'll protect you 100%. So I would suggest someone must up, you sound like you qualify for the $2,000 minimum membership, must up $500,
right.
And then after that, then you get other people to join. Guess what? These people that join, half of the membership goes to pay off your membership and give you cash, probably on top of that. Because if you do it without joining, you only get 25% credit toward your membership. We did that.
Right.
I did that on purpose. Because I'm going to give everybody an incentive. Do whatever you can.
Sure.
$500 is not a lot of money. Okay, you can come up with that if you really intend, if you somehow figure it out. Even if you borrow from a friend even, or family member. If you know people are going to join, then might as well, you get 50% credit and cash paid to you. So those are the options available to you. Okay.
Right. Okay. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate all of it.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you for calling, Gerald. Let's go to the 850 area code caller. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Yes. My name is Justin, and we heard from about you from Plandemic 3. And the question is I'm an electrical contractor, and at this time we work in the public sector. The private sector. If we went and did a government contract, I know we'd have to pay our federal taxes and all that. I've read that on your site. I've called into your office, and they're the ones who referred me to calling you tonight. If, let's just say that I filed my 2023 taxes, or I should say not filed, and went through y'all, and then in 2025 I wanted to contract directly with the government, would I have to pay back taxes and all that, or would I just stop using you for that year and then I would file my taxes as normal? I just want to make sure that if I did something now, I would not disqualify myself from working with the government directly in the future.
Sure. So you plan to be doing business with the federal government?
At this very moment, we're working on some military bases. However, we are contracted with a contractor, and they technically have the contract with the government. So not at the present moment.
Okay.
But I came from a business that did work directly with the federal government, and there's a good chance that in my company's future, we'll be working and contracting directly with the government, and I don't want to be disqualified from government contracts.
Got it. Well, so, yes, if you ever contract directly with the federal government, you have to pay income tax on that. However, there are options also available, okay? You may, for example, have a corporation set up or entity, okay, and that entity does business with the federal government's contract, and that entity has to pay the federal income tax that applies to it. And that entity pays you for your services, okay, and that money is completely tax-free because that money does not come from the federal government directly. And that corporation or entity will pay its taxes because it directly deals and gets paid from the federal government performing functions of military defense of America. So this way, if you have to do it, you still pay a lot less. And we will cover you in those years because that much of your money may be taxable, you know, as a 1040 NR for a non-resident alien with respect to the government of District of Columbia. You pay income tax on that, but all your money that you make is all completely tax-free.
Okay, wonderful. That was my big question. I just want to make sure I wasn't going to be disqualifying myself. So even if you say if I was to disqualify myself in the future, you just pretty much set up a different corporation and contract yourself. So the main contract would be with the government, and then you would subcontract yourself, and that company would not have to be taxed.
I mean, that's why they do all this stuff, in Internal Revenue Code. And that's what the rich people do. Okay, smart people do. They do all this stuff to lower the taxes they pay. The corporation pays a little bit, but a lot less otherwise would be, you know? So then the corporation pays something, but you don't pay on that at all. So it's all kind of stuff available, but that's probably your best bet if you ever fall in that kind of situation.
Okay, wonderful. That's what I need to know. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I'll be in contact with your office.
Okay, you got it, my friend. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, we got another call from area code 209 that just joined us. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hello, Payman.
No. Yes. What's your first name?
My first name is John.
And how did you hear about us?
I've actually used your service before. I signed up to you before.
Okay. Very good, John. And how may I help you?
So I sent you an email with some documents. So yesterday I went to pick up my check, and I noticed that there was a W-9 attached to it asking me to refill out my W-9, which I did about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also noticed another paper that looks like it was from the IRS for TINs and names that didn't match. So
okay.
My company is on there. And so I operate an LLC for getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so no one said anything to me, but it looks like maybe my company's having some issues with the IRS, and they're going over things and they're going, hey, this doesn't match. So I don't think it's a big deal. Like I said, no one said anything to me. They just asked me to fill out a new W-9, but I noticed that they misspelled my company name. But I'm surprised that it triggered this kind of, information return. But so I'm just planning on filling out the W-9 and returning it and asking to correct my spelling of my company. And I just wonder if you had any thoughts on that.
I really don't, because I don't know what you exactly filled out back then that results to this letter, and then why they say there's some discrepancy or mistake. So this is one of those situations. I got to see your paperwork that you gave the IRS and this letters that you see.
Oh, no,
by talking to you, get two and two together.
Yeah, no, I don't give the IRS any, so I don't file. Well,
somebody did.
I have.
Somebody said, IRS says that suddenly you or someone else turned in about you, there's an error there. Now maybe the IRS letter is complete garbage, bogus. I don't know. That happens too, by the way.
No.
IRS sends a bunch of nonsense letters wrong. So I don't know without seeing the letters.
Got you. So I get 1099'd every year, but I just throw it in a drawer. So I'm doing business with a company, and that's how I earn my living. They 1099 my company, and then I don't do anything.
Yeah, there you go. The 1099 you.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So you have stuff. So, you know, it's not a big deal, generally speaking, but I'm just kind of curious why they got your name and or number wrong. I mean, they're idiots, you know. Somebody made a mistake someplace. It's a clerical error, it seems
like. Someone just fat-fingered one character.
It's
just an obvious mistake on their part. But I'm just going to send an email, tell them to correct the name, and the number is the correct number. And hopefully nothing more comes of it.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
Very good. Looks like
all
you
right.
answered
well,
your question
you much,
yourself.
Caleb.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
I think
we're done with the callers. I'm going to go to the emails that we got from people and see if I can help you with your questions. Daisy asks, that is inheritance tax freedom included in membership of the Freedom Law School? No, that's a whole separate membership, the inheritance tax freedom. Okay. And so that's one. Question two, if someone residing in Puerto Rico did not file the 2022 taxes, how can they join your Freedom Law School to prevent repercussions of 2022? Okay. All right. Well, that's a very good question, Daisy. I'm not sure what kind of Puerto Rican are you. If you've been one of those people that lives in Puerto Rico all your life and you don't file for 1 year, if you've been there, you got to pay. You got, first of all, if you lived in there, you must pay Puerto Rico tax. So that's a short answer, because you have chosen to live in the U.S. territory, Puerto Rico, which is a federal territory, has its own federal tax laws, which are lower than the Washington D.C. tax rates, but you gotta pay that. File and pay for 2022. However, you can stop now. For 2023, get out. No longer be Puerto Rican, and you don't owe Puerto Rico or the federal government or Puerto Rico. As soon as you can, you know. And I don't know how long you've been Puerto Rico or not, but technically, if you've been in a state or out of Puerto Rico more than six months, then you're not technically a Puerto Rico citizen at all. So I hope that helps you, but we got to look at the specifics of your case, you know, as far as 2020 forward. If you've been in outside of Puerto Rico for, you know, 5 months already, now you had a couple more months out of Puerto Rico, then, hey, you're no longer Puerto Rican because you've been out of Puerto Rico more than 6 months in 2023. So, you know, that's a great way for you to go to avoid the Puerto Rico tax. So hope that helps you with that question. We have another question from someone from Carson City, Nevada, who got a letter from the IRS that says, we assigned you an employer identification number to your LLC. Well, that's all it is. They give you that number, and, of course, these numbers are there mainly the biggest users, because third parties and banks require a number from you, a Satan surveillance number or slave surveillance number, to keep an eye on you, because you're no longer you. You're that number. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're tattooed with that. That's what they want. So you fill out, I see a, look at this person's John, request a tax ID number that they gave John, and he filled out the form. And John here has put this taxpayer ID number. Okay, and let me see if that matches the number here that they gave you on the form. Okay, you put the ID number of the entity on there. Okay, all right. Well, I don't know why you did that, because if the entity is the one that's doing business, why would you put your name on there? That was a mistake. You put your name, John. Mm-mm. Name of the entity. You might be a manager for it, CEO, president, or trustee, whatever, but you are not the entity. The entity is the entity. And you put the number of the entity, but you put your name by mistake. All right? So, yeah, that's what I give you incorrect name and information you got here. Oh, that probably was the one that the call just sent right now. John, that's you. I see. I got your letter. You didn't tell me you sent a letter to me. I just wanted the stuff out here. Had you told me, I would have answered you right earlier. So, John, you should have given the entity's name and number. Is it your name and number or the entity's name and number? You gave him your name and their number, that entity's number. That's a mistake. So give the entity's name and number. Looks like what you want to do here. Okay, we have another email from Natalie. I'm a former government employee who's collecting a small pension there from around the 1% required to pay federal income tax. And I assume it's a federal employee, and probably state income tax if you reside in that state. Okay, like, you know, California, for example. In 22, I sold nearly all my investments and owe a considerable amount in capital gains tax. Okay, if you go to file, of course. But you don't legally owe it anyhow. Okay, yes. In April, I electronically paid the IRS, but the IRS said I owed. However, I've not yet filed since I received an extension till October 15th. Okay. I'm wondering now if there's a way I don't need to file 1040 next month. Yes, you don't. You don't need to file 1040 anyways. Whether you send them zero or $10 million, you never owe them the money. And whenever you gave them, you gave them, and you still don't have to file at all to begin with. I believe there is another form I would need to fill out to submit to pay just on the tax I owe towards my government pension. Actually, that's right. It's called the 1040-NR as a non-resident alien with respect to the government of D.C. That's right. Okay, so how do I find someone to help me fill out this form? Well, if you become one of our students, we can help you with that. That's not a problem. Okay? I'm not tax savvy and have no idea how to find someone who could help me. Well, yeah, I answered that question. What will happen with the money I had paid to the IRS? Well, you should get a refund of it. You pay them, let's say, $100,000, and you owe the IRS only, say, $5,000, and so you get $95,000 back. That simple. Okay, I'm assuming it's gone and will not be holding my breath. Well, I got good news for you. You can get it back. Because, you see, most people are U.S. citizens. They're not U.S. citizens. They're from 50 states. And the only way for them to get the money back is to file a regular 1040 tax return. But yours is different. All you have to fill out is a non-resident alien with respect to the District of Columbia tax return. Okay, and then for you can get, you know, your $95,000 in that example I just made up fact. Okay, so that's it. Hope that helps you, Nally. Okay, from Michigan. And we have one, we have a caller from Iqbal 941. I'm going to get to him first and then get someone from Lake Forest, California, who sent a letter from Georgia Department of Revenue. I'll get to him after they call from Iqbal 941. We will put on the screen the number for you to call in if you have a question, folks. Okay, so if you have a question, call 657-383-1755. And on your telephone pad, press 1, and I will let me know you have a question. I will take your question also tonight. Let's go to the call from area code 941. You're next. Give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. From area code 941 call, area code. You got 96. No, next one. Area code 941 caller. Okay, hold on, caller. We're going to get you just momentarily. Okay, here we go. You're live. What's your name? America 941, you're live. What is your first day, my friend? All right. Let's see the 941 caller. No longer has a question. And so we're going to go to the question we have here from someone from Lake Forest that he has two letters stapled together. One is a request or demand by the corrupt California Franchise Tax Board, request or demand for tax return. Okay. And there's only one page of it. And they wanted you to respond by October 18, 2023. Okay. Well, you can respond. You don't have to respond to this one at all. If you don't want to, you could. You don't have to. They must issue an official notice of proposed assessment. And that's when you can and should ask for a hearing and challenge them at that time. Okay. Then we have another letter. I guess it's from you, from the Georgia Department of Revenue. That says for your 2015, way back then, you owe them a balance of $2,700 and change. And that's all history. Nothing I can do to make it go away. You can probably just ignore them. They will go away because typically there's 10-year time frame from the time the tax was assessed or determined or fixed before the tax expires. So I would assume that probably for 2015, you filed by April 15, 2016 with Georgia. So after 10 years, April 15, 2026, then the whole $2,700 will go away if it's not paid. You can pay it if you want to, at the rate you want to, or in full. That is your choice, but there's nothing I can do to make him go away. So there's that caller's question. I'll put the number on the screen one more time if you have any questions. Oh, by the way, we're going to do an event with Stu Peters coming up in Vero Beach. Okay? We got to put that on our website. Email everybody. Remind me about it, guys. With Stu Peters, Vero Beach, Florida. Okay? Coming up October 28th. So we'll put it on our website, askfreedomlawschool.org, with more details very, very soon. So come to that. We're going to be at the Awaken America Tour. I'm going to put that on our website. And that Awaken America Tour is of Clay Clark. Okay. And so I will be there in person. So you can meet me there if you want, if you're interested, to see me in person. And the website of them is ThriveTimeShow.com, ThriveTimeShow.com. So here you see at the top left, okay, they got the event coming up in Miami, Florida. Okay, the very first one coming up. We'll not be in a California one, but we'll definitely be at the one in Miami, Florida, October 13th and 14th. So that's a great place if you want to meet and talk more in person. We can do that as well. With that, I'm going to put the number on the screen one more time. Anybody has any last questions, you can get it answered right now. Call 657-383-1755 and press 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will take your question next. 657-383-1755 and press 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will take your question now. And looks like we have a call from area code 678. Is that the same person or a new person, 678? Oh, 678, Eric could call us back. All right, my friend, you went and came back. From Eric, 678, I can take your call now, my friend. give me your first name, how you heard about Feet of Law School, and then your question, please.
Yes, my name is Deborah, and I heard about you on YouTube.
The new YouTube or the old YouTube channel that that they closed? How long ago was it about?
I'm not sure if it's old or new because I've been listening to you for a very long time.
Okay,
I'm not really sure.
One. Gotcha. Okay. Because they closed our channel. We're being so effective. They closed the channel down. We had to start a new one. Okay, very good.
Oh.
And how may I help you, Deborah?
Yes, I believe you just read my notice that from the state of Georgia, and it says the notice of pending state tax execution. And I have not filed taxes since 03, and I'm wondering why they're sending me this now, because of the simple fact I heard you say earlier that, you know, if I'm not a citizen of District of Columbia, then I should not have to pay, file a tax for the state of Georgia, and I haven't done so since 03. And that's the form you have in front of you. I heard you read it out just a few minutes ago, but I wasn't able to key in so I could talk to you. I just keyed in to you. So it's the one that's for the Georgia Department of Revenue and the Notice of Pending State Tax Execution, and they're saying that I owe them $2,736.77.
Well, I do not have all your paperwork with me. I have only two sheets. They're both incomplete, what you said. So without giving me more complete paperwork, I'm unable to give you any further information than what I gave you. The FTB letter from California is several pages. You gave me only one. The one from Georgia is several pages long. You gave me only one. All I can tell you is it appears either you filed or you didn't file that came after you, because they assume that you are a U.S. citizen of Washington, D.C., living in Georgia, so therefore your Georgia income tax as well. That's what they're assuming. Again, without seeing your paperwork, I'm not able to magically read me what's going on with your situation. You've got to get in your paperwork more completely so I can take a better crack at a better answer.
Yeah, that's the only thing they sent me was the paperwork that you just read.
One
a
page,
few minutes ago.
Georgia,
it's just one page. Yeah, it's one page, but it has a back and a front.
That's all it says. All it is just this language they use, notice of pending state execution. It's like, oh, well, you cut my head off and suddenly execution. It's just a language that used to scare you into pain. They're not going to cut your head off or hang you. Right? It's just a scare language they use with on these dumb computer-generated letters. Remember, they use fear. That's the government. That's what they're about. And these state tax agencies also use fear, just like the IRS. Obviously, all these years, you've been doing fine, right? So you're okay.
Yeah, but they had said in there that they could come after my personal property, my bank account, and my income. And that's the part that kind of, I guess you say, put a fear in me, because they said they was going to come after it, but they had not done it since 2003. So I guess it's just a fear factor.
Of course. Of course, it's all fear.
Okay.
Do you live in Georgia? Where do you live?
And another thing.
Where do you live?
I'm sorry?
Where do you live? What state?
Georgia.
Well, if you have bank account, paycheck, something in Georgia, they may take it at any time. That's just a fact.
Well, how can they come up with that number when I did not even file a tax return? How did
they
even come up with
you.
That number?
Because they'll file one for you. They say you should have filed. We'll do one for you and push our dumb computer forward to say you owe this much and go on. That's all. They call it automated substitute return for the one that you did not file on your own. IRS has pretty much stopped doing that, basically. But states here and there, sometimes they do come after you.
Oh, okay. Is there another question? Is there a statute of limitation on the tax of the state and federal? I mean, is it, even though I haven't filed, I'm just wondering, is there a statute of limitation on taxes?
10 years typically in most states. New York, California, a few other more corrupt, aggressive states have 20-year time, but most states are 10. IRS is 10, but the IRS can extend it to another 10 years, but they usually do not do that.
Okay, and another question is, being that I'm on Social Security now, I've been told that I don't have to file a tax return, being that that's my sole and only income that I do have is Social Security. Is that a correct statement?
If all you have is Social Security, state cannot do anything to you. The state cannot take federal money. States cannot touch federal money. If that's all you got, they can, Georgia cannot touch any Social Security.
But what about my vehicles in my house?
Oh, they don't bother with those things. They may put a lien on your house, and but they don't take houses. States don't do that. If you sell the house or refinance it at that time, they take the money out at that time. If you don't refinance or sell it, it'll go away when the tax expires after 10 years.
Okay, good, because I don't plan to move. That's good to hear. Yeah. And they wait until all these years to send me this after 2003. I thought it was over with, but anyway,
no,
I thank you.
They didn't wait. They were just lazy, incompetent, and overworked. That's all. It's only $2,700, hon. The government's not as efficient machine that comes after you. Like, if someone owed you money, you go after them. They're not like that. They have too many people to go after, okay? Especially for small amounts, like yours was his chump change, okay?
Yes, I would think. I would think for the state that would be chump change, and it would just go away.
Yes.
But yeah, that's good. I'm glad that I'm on the Social Security, so they can't really come after me anyway. They can't garnish a government income.
Federal government income, right?
Federal. Okay, good. Yeah, that. I can sleep tonight. Thank you very, very much. And I want to say that it's a joy talking to you because I've been listening to you for years. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, Deborah. I'm glad you called. You sound like an old friend of mine. There's a very sweet lady, I remember, from New Mexico. Anyhow, Deborah, it was nice to hear from your lovely voice. I'm happy to be of help to you. Okay. We have, let's see, two more callers from area code 305 first, and then another call from area code 513. Call from area code 305, please give me your first name only for your privacy, and how you heard about us, and then your question, please. Area code 305 caller, can you unmute, sir?
Yes.
Maybe, hold on. Okay, there you are. What's your name?
Yes, my name is Daisy. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
I heard from you through my son. He told me about you about 5 years ago, and finally I make it to study more what you are all about. Thank you very much.
Thank you, a son who loves his mom so much. Didn't give up on you. Says, Mom, gotta check it out, Mom.
Oh, my gosh. You know he's on this live call as well, and he just appreciates what you just said. So I have a few questions. The first question is...
How old is your son, by the way? Jace, how old is your son?
Well, he has a Christian age. He's 33.
But how old is he, roughly?
He is 33.
33, okay. Very good. Well, he loves his mom, that's for sure. Okay. What else do you want to tell me, Daisy, huh?
So here, my first question is there a deadline, and if so, what is the deadline to join the school for the taxes in 2023?
The sooner the better. Because there's no exact deadline for 2023. If you join, I'll tell you what deadline is. If you join now in 23, you're in 23, your membership, as opposed to joining after January 2024, whatever your membership would be, you get a 10% discount if you join in 23 now. So that's the advantage you get on that.
I appreciate your answer. And now I did the calculation on your website, and my question is, how can I possibly know how much money I'm still making for the last quarter of this month, of this year?
Very good question. You just estimate it. Okay, and we just go over that. You know, we're not the IRS, folks. We're not trying to get you, like, exactly made this much. We just go by categories. You know, you had roughly, what, 60 to 65,000, you know, 110 to 120,000, you know, a million to million one, point one. As long as you're in the right ballpark, you're fine, you know. So are you a wage earner? Are you a business owner? You just give us honesty. We want to be honest with you and with everybody else, all of our students, and I hope we get that back from you also. Because I'm just putting everybody together. That's all I'm doing. I'm just a guy that puts everybody together. So just give us the best answer, and as long as it's close, great. If you all of a sudden make a big money at the end of the year, a lot more, let us know, hey, I had this big money come through I was not sure about. It came through. So I want to be protected for all that money that I was not sure if it's going to come through. So I need to up my membership, you know. So that's all. And that'll be a little bit more for that membership. That's all.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I have another question. Will it impact so when I joined the school, I do have a foundation, a non-for-profit. I'm serving humanity in 97 countries. And I wonder, because the foundation has my personal, so my name in it, and I wonder when I'm applying for grants for government and state money, will that impact the delivery to my foundation when I am in your law school program as a student?
The foundation is not you any more than Jeff Bezos is Amazon, even though he's the founder of it, head of it, owns big shares of it, or, you know, Microsoft is not Bill Gates. So that entity is a whole separate thing than you. And your foundation, I assume it's not one from the created in Washington, D.C. Therefore, that corporation you have, is it? If it's not, it doesn't own any income tax at all. It doesn't even need to apply for be a foundation. You know, it's just nonprofit. That's good. It was not taxable to begin with.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And I have one last question. How is crypto being taxed? So is there
any other...
How
do what be taxed?
Pardon me?
Get close to your microphone. I could not hear you. How does what... going to get taxed?
The cryptocurrencies, when there is...
Good question. In fact, I'm glad you asked that, okay? You see, your cryptocurrency, it depends on where you're from. If you're from Washington, D.C., you pay income tax on wages, commissions, business income, royalties, capital gains, stocks, bonds, real estate, crypto, everything. You pay because it's from D.C. You're from D.C. But if you're not from D.C., you don't pay the D.C. tax. It doesn't matter. You don't owe any crypto gains tax to begin with. And there's a question on 1040 form. It's a trick question about digital assets. They ask you a trap question at any time during 2022. Did you receive as a reward, award, or payment for property or services, or sell, exchange, gift, otherwise dispose of a digital asset or financial interest in a digital currency? Answer yes and no. If you say yes, you just made yourself a target. You just put yourself on a list, like a gone confiscation list. That's what they asked this question. If you say no, you lied under oath. You lied, and now you can go to prison for 9 years for evading the tax. Only way to avoid all this is to not do the form at all. Now, you don't have to answer the question at all because you never owe any income tax of any kind whatsoever on your crypto gains, period.
Okay, let's say I made some crypto gain in, let's say, 2020 or 2021, but I did never confirm that I ever owned any of that, or my friends never confirmed with the IRS when they asked the trap question. Then is there any aftermath? So what happens to the aftermath? Because if somebody joins your school, let's say today or tomorrow, and they may have next year or in 2 years someone coming after any crypto ownership, not gains cashed out, but ownership that happened in 2020, 2021, does that affect the human who has had crypto at the time but declined or denied that they had it? And the question is, are students of your law school then covered? Will you have our back?
We'll have your back as long as you did not file a 1040 confession form. The only time we cover you if you file is if you are have the federal government income, okay, like a call had earlier, help you with that 1040 NR form. Make sure you do that correctly. And on the rest of your income, you don't pay income tax. Does that answer your question adequately?
I'm not a tax expert, and I admit I'm blonde as well, but that's a different question. So, but now, can you please clarify? So if I do not, if I had cryptocurrency and let's say I had gains, but I didn't cash out in 2021, and I joined your school yesterday.
You'd be covered.
Will you have my back?
You'd be covered as long as you do your membership
perfect.
Amount correctly. Yes, you will be covered.
Absolutely. Thank you. You answered all my questions. I truly appreciate what you do for humanity. We are
Thank
on the
you.
Same page. It's a pleasure
Thank
meeting you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Hope to meet you someday soon in person.
Well,
here you go, 513 caller. You are next. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
This is Shane. Heard about you on Getter through Stu Peters.
On where?
On Getter. It's an app, like
oh,
a Facebook.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. And how may I help you?
Hey, my question is, you kind of already touched on this, but I wanted to kind of get clarification. I filed for an extension for my 22 taxes. The deadline's obviously coming up here on the 15th. Do I just not file? And then if I do not file, is there anything I need to send the IRS?
Nope.
Okay. And then what do I tell my accountant? Because he's going to freak out because you know how they are.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you take the corona jab?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Did you take the corona jab, the so-called vaccine? Did you take that jab?
Nope. Heck
oh.
no.
Well, good. What did you tell your doctor?
I didn't tell my doctor anything because I don't really ever go to the doctor unless I have to.
Good. That's option one. Don't tell him anything. Option two, tell your 1040 tax guy, tell him he's been deceived. He's been lied to. And he's been enslaving people unwittingly. Give him our website. Hey, why don't you go and educate yourself about all this? Okay, go to freedomlawschool.org, follow the law correctly based on the official legal websites of the U.S. government. That new law requires 99% of Americans to file paying income taxes. There's a 9-minute video to start to see the proof. So I suggest you do that with him. Let's see how honest he is.
Okay.
He's an honest man.
He is an ex IRS employee, so that's what makes
Great.
It interesting.
No problem. It depends on his attitude. One of my students he was an active employed criminal special agent with the IRS's criminal investigation division. His name is Joseph Bannister. In 1997, he contacted me, and I educated him. And he is open-minded, honest guy. He checked us all out, everything we said. He said, you guys are right. You want to book it out to the IRS? And look, I can't live with my oath to follow the Constitution and violate people's rights. So you need to show me where I'm wrong about, you know, my conclusion that I've been wrong. We all been wrong about income tax. We're defrauding the American people. And the IRS didn't answer him, so he left. He quit and started exposing the liars. So he was an honest man, your accountant. Is he honest or not? Well, you find out when you give my website, Tom. Here it is. I'll pay you to read this stuff. Now watch his presentation. Show me where he's wrong. Okay?
Okay.
Did he work for IRS or not is irrelevant. Is he a man of conscience?
Yep.
Honest? I don't care what he did before with dig ditches or sold pencils or IRS agent or FBI agent or he was a teacher. It doesn't matter what his occupation was. Who is he right now is what matters. All right, Shane, anything else?
Quick question about the tuition. You said there's actually you got a payment plan for that for us to join? It'd be me and my whole family. I got two boys getting into the workforce. We're going to start this early.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so since you join as a family, you have adult children, then when you join, they join as your referral for the first year membership because now you're referring them. Okay. You get a 50% reward of their first year membership, which you can, if you want, give it to them as a discount, which I imagine you probably will do. Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
Some people don't do that, unfortunately. I mean, I wish everybody was like Shane. He joins and says, hey, come on, kids, parents, brother, sister, cousins, I love you all. I'll help you join. I'll give up my 50% reward as a discount to you, you know, to be free. Let's join our freedom movement, get our country back, and have more money for you to live a better life. More peace, prosperity, confidence, you know, harmony and joy. You know, we're not being so poor. But a lot of people don't do that, so kudos to you, my friend, for doing that, Shane.
Great. Appreciate it. One more quick question I had to ask you. You're an immigrant, right?
Yes, from Iran, huh?
Well, I want to tell you, I've listened to you quite a few times this past year, and I mean, sometimes I feel you're a bigger patriot than a lot of our own citizens, so thank you for that.
Thank you. My pleasure. You know, sometimes I ask myself, what kind of plan did God have for me? Because I come from a third world country. We have no freedoms. I got the free country to live free, and to my amazement, I found that. And not only were we not free like we were supposed to be, but I found that most Americans are not even interested to hear about freedom. Which I'm thinking, why are you literally doing away with your God-given rights to the founding fathers secured for you? You know, I don't get it. But it's what it is, my friend, with the help of you, even with people like you, my friend, Americans that do care about freedom and your family members and people that they'll talk about and expand our group, we are going to take our country back. Remember, folks, IRS has chosen to leave non-filers alone, and that's great news, by the way. I got to do a video on this coming up. The IRS has chosen to leave non-filers alone since 2017. That's fantastic news. We have put that thing on our website, that language of that thing, okay? Very good. All right, Shane, any other questions, brother?
That's it. Great talking to you. I'll be watching you again.
All right, my friend. Thank you for calling. Let's see. I think we have a caller, another one from area code 305 that joined us. You know, another call from area code 305. I don't know where is area code 305 anyhow. You know, we got two calls from area code 305 tonight. This one with the prefix 340. So caller, give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hi, Payman. I'm Christian. Can you hear me well?
Yes, Christian, huh?
Very well. I've heard the conversation today and also the topic of well, first of all, I guess I should say how I know. I've found you about 4 or 5 years ago, and I've spoken with you and your team once, also about social media. But I today heard the conversation about the Puerto Rico questions, which obviously gets me very excited.
Yes.
And for the filing of taxes for this year. The question came up about the amount of time one spent here. The person is not born here, and they did spend, however, already 6 months of the year here. However, potentially are planning of moving back to Florida where they originally come from. So since there's several months left of the year, if they were to move and file from Florida, is that sufficient for the year or not?
What needs to happen, bottom line, is not be in Puerto Rico more than 6 months out of the year. If they're out of Puerto Rico more than 6 months out of the year, they're no longer considered a Puerto Rico resident and are not subject to Puerto Rico income taxes.
Understood. So for this year, no matter what, if they spend more than 6 months out of the year, they would still be required for Puerto Rican tax. And for next year, they wouldn't.
Correct.
They're also into crypto and capital gains. So I'm presuming that their reason for moving to Puerto Rico is the reason of an Act 20 or 22 or Act 60, they now call, which would qualify one for a 0% tax gain upon purchasing and selling. Did I understand correctly previously, as you confirmed, that these gains would require equally the same type of tax code, which would mean technically no tax at all?
Again, yeah. The bottom line is that, yes, it doesn't matter whether your money was made from crypto, wages, business income commissions. It doesn't matter. As long as the money is not from Washington, D.C., people of 50 states in the world don't own income tax. As far as Puerto Ricans go, as long as you're not 6 months or more from Puerto Rico, the resident of Puerto Rico, you owe no income tax to Puerto Rico or any place else for any crypto or other kind of income that you may have had during the year.
Basically, it's just like any other tax, and it would be and under your ruling and your freedom law would be zero.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Excellent. I really appreciate your time, and I love what you do. I definitely would like to go and at some point write an email to you and your team and assist getting this word out to more people, because I think that a lot more shall be aware.
You're welcome. You. My pleasure. Christian, thank you for calling us. I appreciate you doing that. Let's go to another call. Looks like we have now from area code, I think 978, right? You have another call from 978. Let me check on that. We have a call from area code 978. You just joined us. Caller error from area code 978. You are live with Freedom Law School. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hey, my name's Riley. I first heard about you guys about a year and a half ago from the crypto community, from this small group, this alternative news group I follow called Zetetic News. I think they said you might know them. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. But they told me about what?
What's the name of the group?
Zetetic News, ZNN.
The name doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. Well, yeah, they were, I mean, I've heard about, they talked about multiple resources like Weiss and Associates and Pete Hendrickson and Freedom Law School, though. You know, I felt like, for example, I read like some of Pete Hendrickson's books, but I feel like you guys, you know, not that I have anything against him, but you guys did a better job of like, you know, simplifying these things and actively, you know, posting about this stuff online. This year was the first year that I have not, filed any income tax. And what was I going to say? But one thing I heard from calling you guys before, one of your employees was that there are a few different states where state income tax is still required in the United States. I think Alabama was one of them, and I was wondering what those states are.
Those states are Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Alabama, I think Mississippi and Arkansas, those five. What state are you from?
Okay. I live in Iowa.
Oh, you're free.
Yes, that's good. Yeah, I at least remember it wasn't Iowa, yeah. I actually used to live in Huntington Beach, California, that same area that you used to, that you said you lived in. And yeah, there's definitely certain areas of California, depending on the area, I feel that like, just like, you know, the vibe of the people is very different than in more free kinds of states.
Yep. And California is changing because, you know, the free-minded people are getting taken out of that communist republic, like you and me. You're right. Any other questions you got, my friend?
I suppose the only other thing is I don't know much about 401ks in general, but I was wondering, isn't 401k something that you have to file taxes in order to get involved with?
No, you can put money in 401k or IRA, whatever account you want. You can do that. It's totally up to you to put money in or out if you want. You don't need to do it, but, you know, people put money in there because they think that's the best thing to do. They don't know better. That's all.
Okay, because I think it was like last live stream or something, you were talking to somebody who was retiring about how the IRS was taking a lot of money, I think, from her 401k, so I wasn't sure how that linked.
That was not the IRS. That is the custodian who has control of the 401k money, like Fidelity or Bank of America. Those guys who steal a portion of your money, send it to the IRS, you know, to force you to file a 1040 income tax confession trap form, put the rope around your neck to hopefully get a little bit of that money back. IRS doesn't come after you. It's the third party who steals your money.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I was just curious about that. I suppose one other question is, I don't own any land myself currently, but I know you guys were talking about how there's like a intentionally confusing process when it comes to filing a patent to own your land. Is that something you guys explained pretty thoroughly already in past videos?
Yes, I did a video on that topic, and it was not as thorough as I wanted to be, honestly, but it was sufficient enough. You know, people try that thing. I've known for close to 30 years. I've never seen one example of anybody doing a land patent or own land in allodial title or allodium, and then by that end up not having to pay property tax or in any way be subject to no regulations whatsoever. I've never seen that. If someone shows me one successfully, I'm happy to follow them and tell other people, but I've never seen one. Property tax is a foundational tax America was built for, folks. Okay? Look at the Wild West movies you saw when you were a kid, right? Like I was. John Wayne and Clint Eastwood. They came west in a little small town. They had a sheriff, maybe a deputy or two, a little jail, a part-time judge, a prosecutor who went around different counties. You know, he'd be here and there. Who paid for these people's salaries and the jail? Well, the landowners. The bigger landowner paid more. The little landowner paid less. And that's all there was. It was no income tax, no sales tax, no DME taxes, no gas taxes. That's all there was. Somehow you got to pay for the jail to get the bad guys in prison, in jail, to protect you, right? So it always has been that you got to pay property tax. That's a foundational tax. America was built locally, in your town, that protects you, the local sheriff of you being there to protect you, along with a part-time prosecutor and judge way back then. Now, these are full-timers with a lot of these government employees. All right, Riley, anything else?
One other thing is, have you heard of, I don't think she was really understanding of the law, but I do know, have you done a video on the case of why Sherry Jackson went to jail?
Yes. I did. If you go on Odyssey Channel, I did a video about that, about Urban Schiff, Sherry Jackson, Wesley Snipes. I covered all those guys' mistakes. And what you want to do is go on our Odyssey channel, okay? A social media. I like Odyssey the best because they don't censor. Mm-hmm. And they got a very functional platform, better than Rumble and BitChute, okay? So you go there and you go into content, okay? You click on content and on the search bar, okay? You type in, for example, Jackson, okay, or whatever thing you're looking for, and it'll come up, you know. Here it is. Two former ICE agents, why Sherry Jackson is a short and long video. Here it is. Two former ICE agents, why Sherry Jackson went to prison, but Joe Bannister did not. The Joe Bannister was my student, followed my advice. Sherry Peel Jackson did not.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you're very open about calling everybody mm-hmm. and everything. You definitely have nothing to hide. It was great talking to you, Paymon.
You're welcome, my friend. Any other questions, Riley? Are you good?
I don't think so. No, thanks.
Okay, very good. Let's put that number on the screen one more time for any more questions. The number 657-383-1755, and on your telephone keypad, press 1. Now I'll take your question right now. 657-383-1755, and on your telephone keypad, press 1, and I will take your question now, okay? And other than that, folks, Mother said we have no more people with questions. Okay, very good, folks. Remember, I can only be your Morpheus in Matrix. Movie. Every one of you is your own Neos. I can only guide you and let you see how the rabbit hole gets deeper. Come with me, right? But you're the one that got at the end. Take that trip and you'll find the truth that will empower you, that will set you free. You'll get that piece of confidence that you're looking for, the freedom you're looking for, folks. And at the same time, we can work together. Restore freedom for America as well. So with that, folks, I give you my love, and I wish you all a great free day, week, month, and the years ahead. Go to freedomlawschool.org now. We have 513 area code callers. Join us. We've got to miss them. Let's take them right now. Can you take them? If I miss a guy like that, you let me know. Yeah. All right. He left. Okay. Well, he has to call tomorrow. Well, we got a lot of calls tonight. This is tax season, number two, right? We got about 10 callers, I think we had. What's the date today? Is that today the 5th or 6th? 5th. Okay. This is October 5. Okay. Give me a bunch of good calls. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. More than last week. Now, then how many more good ones? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more good ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good ones, yeah. Okay, all right, let's go. There's a short video now. All right, Eric. Oh, so that music, that was your plan, Marcus, to put that in the background already in there. I forget that. Where was the speaker outside that? You know, that was there. Where was the speaker at? I heard the sound.
Oh, yeah. From here.
Oh, and I heard it in my ear.
Yeah.
I thought it was in the room. No, okay.
No, yeah, Marcus putting on background music.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that. Good, 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 good. I'm glad you're doing that. Fantastic. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow, we had a lot of callers.
Yeah, taxis. Like a taxi.
Yeah. At the end.